When we come to John chapter 13, we find the Lord Jesus is teaching the disciples in an upstairs room in Jerusalem. It was Easter Thursday, and within 24 hours, our Lord would be crucified, dead, and buried in the tomb. And our Lord Jesus knew this. And so he celebrated the Passover and turned it into the first Lord's Supper service and commanded us to do this in remembrance of him until he comes again. It was usual among the Jews to have a sermon during the Passover, during the Seder. And our Lord in this chapter begins the sermon not with words, but with a deed. The disciples had bathed at their lodgings. They'd put on their party clothes because the Passover was a celebration and a thanksgiving. And then they had walked through the streets of Jerusalem to the upstairs room loaned by a friend. And the custom was that when guests arrived for a gathering like this, there would be a slave who would take off the visitor's sandals and wash their feet as they entered. But in this case, the utensils, the water and the towels were there, but there was no slave. And there was, at the time, a Jewish saying, a disciple must do it. Every servant his master asks, except to untie his sandals. Washing feet was very much the work of an inferior, a slave, or a subject person. Even a subject person whom the master wanted to punish. But at any rate, the disciples were too proud to wash each other's feet, or even to wash their own feet. If I come into contact with the towels and the water, somebody else might put his foot in front of me. What would I do then? So nobody washed his own feet, and nobody chose to wash the feet of the Lord Jesus either. They were thinking, each of them, no, I just can't do that. And so the 12 disciples shuffled along to the dining table, embarrassed, and reclined on the couches and waited for the food, still with the street dirt, maybe even some doggy poo on their feet. Our Lord Jesus, of course, was watching, but he said nothing. In verse 4, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, the original says, took off his garments, wrapped a towel around his waist. It's worth noticing that our Lord stripped off his clothes, plural. He stripped down to his loincloth, his underpants, like a slave. And verse 5, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, our Lord Jesus washing his disciples' feet was obviously a plain rebuke to their unwillingness to serve each other. It was certainly all of that, a plain rebuke, but it was also more, because the foot washing was a parable, a picture of his whole mission to the world. And this was deliberate. And Christ intended the disciples and intended us to understand that. That's the implication in verse 7, when the Lord said, what I am doing you do not know now, but afterward you will understand. And so our Lord Jesus got up from the meal, just as he had got up from his throne in heaven beside the Father. He took off his garments, just as he had left behind his privileges in glory as God the Son. He wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, squatting or kneeling in front of each one with his bare back, washing the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Just as, coming into the world, he came not to be served, but wonderfully to serve and to offer himself a ransom for many. And then verse 12, when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, he resumed his place. Their Lord and Master at the head of the table. Just as when he had completed his sufferings, his silence here in the tomb, he rose. And he, in due time, ascended and went back home to the Father's right hand in glory. Philippians 2 is the great commentary. Jesus Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be taken advantage of, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, a slave, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and even under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that is the name that is above every name. And that to the glory of God the Father. And so the foot washing was very much a parable of the whole mission of our Lord in the world. But second, the foot washing was also a revelation, obviously, of his character and his love, and even of his humility. The Apostle John at the beginning of the Gospel says of the disciples, "We saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And we certainly see that glory, and we certainly see that grace and that truth here in John 13. Verse 3. Jesus knew, Jesus understood that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. Our Lord knew exactly who he was. He was absolutely clear in his mind. God the Son. And he washed his disciples' feet when they would not wash their own feet. He even washed Judas's feet along with the others. Verse 1. Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, and having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now the word end there is telos. He loved them to completion. He loved them as far as he could go. He loved them to the uttermost. He loved them and us. He loved them to the point of washing their dirty feet. And he loved them and us to the completion of dying, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, and exhausting the penalty, so that we might be able in God's grace to come to him. So the foot washing was first of all a parable of our Lord Jesus' whole mission to the world, down and up. And second, it was a picture of our Lord's character and love. And third, it was a picture of the salvation he came to give to us. In verse 6, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" No. And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing. Later you will understand." No, said Peter. "You will never wash my feet. It's absolutely wrong." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head. Give me a complete bath." And Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath only needs his feet washed. His whole body is clean already." So the culture worked like this. You went to a dinner party. First of all, you bathed at home, and you put on your best clothes. You walked in your sandals to the place of the celebration. And when you arrived, you needed to have your feet washed. And Peter, therefore, when he refused to allow Jesus to wash his feet, was refusing a necessary service. And when he asked Jesus, when he reversed and asked our Lord to wash not only his feet, but his hands and his head, he was asking for more than he needed at that time. And that's a picture. When we first truly trust in the Lord Jesus, at that moment we receive salvation. Then, at that moment of first belief, first trust, when we first put our hand in the hand of the Lord, then we are saved, we're forgiven, we're counted as righteous, we're adopted as God's children, and we belong to him forever, always. As God's believing people, God's children, when we sin, and we do not slip out of salvation back onto the way to hell and then come back and forgiven again and accepted again, and then we sin again and are back on the way to hell, and then we repent again and we're safe again and again and again and again. Where is the assurance? Where is the joy in and out of God's family? Once saved forever. The Apostle Paul, Philippians 1:6, "I am persuaded," Paul said, "that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. Wow, isn't that wonderful? For all our weaknesses, all our failures, all our disappointings, all our downright sin, the believer sins with the Holy Spirit in his heart, her heart, as a member of God's family. He does not deal with us according to our sins, and he does not repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love, his faithfulness towards those who fear him. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're like the man who has had a bath at home and is clean. But as we walk through the day by day through the streets of life, we get our feet dirty. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right always and never sins. Our faith is never perfect. Our love is never truly adequate in the present life. So day by day, we need to have our spiritual feet washed. And we sin and repent, and we're renewed in God's forgiveness and assurance each new day. Each new day. Salvation, justification is the technical term, is pictured in baptism. And we are baptized only once. When we come to faith, God accepts us. Then we go on with God in that enduring relationship in life, through death, and on into eternity. But we come often, regularly, to the Lord's table. And the Lord's Supper, shared in month by month by month, expresses that ongoing friendship with God, that ongoing cleansing, that ongoing fellowship and life with him. And finally, and obviously, the foot washing was a parable of the humble and loving service that we are to give to each other in the church and in the world. Love is not sentiment, it is service, as John Stott said. Our Lord did not talk. He stripped off his clothes, down to his bonds, his underpants, and he washed feet. And he died painfully on the cross. And you have it there in verse 35. A new commandment I give to you, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all people know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Now, the Lord Jesus there is talking about our life together with each other in the church. But that love, that service will spill over into the world as well. But the primary concern here is the church family. My mother, my mum, used to teach a Sunday school kindergarten class. And she often used to tell the children by way of application, the little ones, be kind, be a little helper. And that's a paraphrase of Jesus, our Lord's point. Be awake, be alert, see the opportunities to be kind, see the opportunities and the need to help one another. And then finally, down the bottom of the passage, verse 37, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So we had better pray. Let us all pray. Almighty and dear Father, how great you are, and how generous and good. Father, you show us in this passage your Son's glory and your own glory, and the splendor of the Spirit who lives within us. Glory that is full of grace and truth. Forgive us, Father, our sins, our shortcomings, our failures to serve. We thank you that your mercies are new and fresh every morning. We thank you for the blessing of your love. Father, Son, Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.